I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Trump, Donald Trump, and Colossians chapter 3. Donald Trump and Colossians chapter 3. Now, why? What does Trump have to do with the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossian church? Well, I think it has everything to do with a current controversy that's been all over the news. I mean, they're just playing it round the clock over and over again, showing the comments, sometimes playing the audio, sometimes talking about it, etc. The comments that were made by Trump years and years ago when he was engaging in what has been called locker room talk or locker room rhetoric, and he was making very, very crude comments about women. In general, and perhaps I think one woman in particular. Nevertheless, his comments were rude. They were shameful. They were inexcusable. There's no question about that. There's no justification for it. However, as most men know, at some point in their lives, men have often taken part in this kind of shameful rhetoric. It is shameful guy talk. Now, why do I bring that up? That does not in any way excuse it. In fact, Arnold Schwarzenegger has come out and spoken against Trump, or said he's not going to vote for Trump. Now, he did not bring up, apparently did not bring up, this recent episode that's come out on Trump and his comments. Most likely, the commentators are saying, because Arnold Schwarzenegger, back when he was running for the office of governor of the state of California — we lived in California while he was governor — all of these stories came out. I remember all these stories came out against Arnold Schwarzenegger and his past and all sorts of crude comments and things that he had done when he was younger. And he, you know, had to talk about this and make excuses for it and all this other kind of stuff. And it is, unfortunately, it is often the way of younger men or men who are immature in this kind of thing. It simply is. Now, the reason I mention that is because when the woman who was taken in adultery was dragged by the men out in the street and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said to him, "The law of Moses says that this woman, she's been taken in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says she should be stoned. What say you?" And then Jesus says, effectively, "He among you who is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her." And then they all drop their stones and walk away. Now, you go read commentaries on the history there of the Jews in the first century, and remember that Jesus referred to them as a generation of adulterers. I used to think that he meant that in a spiritual way, and there's probably an application there spiritually. But some historians, Jewish historians, have written about the condition of the Jewish people in the first century at that time, and how they were very literally given over to adulterous behavior as a culture, that it was very, very common among the Jews to engage in adulterous behavior. And so the commentators who write about that whole part of John's Gospel, John chapter 8, talk about it, and they say that it's very likely that Jesus is referring to the fact that the men who were there, probably most of them, maybe all of them, were to some extent guilty of engaging in some form of adultery. And so he's not just pointing out sin in general, because then you wouldn't be able to criticize anyone. You wouldn't be able to confront anyone for anything, because all are sinners. But in particular, that sin, the sin of adultery that they had brought the woman forward for. So now when we look at Trump and these comments that he made years ago, these are comments he made before Barack Obama was even elected president. These are comments that I think go back to 2003. But how many of his accusers are able to say that they've never made any kind of comments like that? I was listening to Megyn Kelly, and she said words to the effect of, well, I've never said anything like that. Well, anybody can go online and look up when Megyn Kelly was on with Howard Stern, of all people. Howard Stern, who is horrible in this regard. And I mean, that's what he's known for, is that kind of dialogue and so on. She went on the Howard Stern program and is engaging in lewd conversation. Not only that, Megyn Kelly, there's rather lewd pictures of her on the internet that she obviously posed for. And here she is lecturing Trump about his behavior and the things that he said. And, well, that was just rude and this kind of thing. And so on. Can the people who are accusing him and condemning him really say they've never been guilty of this kind of thing? Or that if somebody was recording their conversation at a certain point, maybe when they thought they were having a private conversation with someone, that they wouldn't have said something in there that they would be ashamed to have the whole world hear if it were broadcast all over the news? Now, again, this doesn't condone in any way what Trump said. It was, I mean, really deplorable, truly deplorable dialogue. And that he would keep going on like that, not good, not good at all. But now let's bring it into the context of Colossians chapter 3. Let's bring it into the context of Colossians chapter 3. Because Paul is addressing the church. And I believe, brethren, because Trump is a professing Christian, whether or not he's truly saved, the Lord knows. He professes Christianity. I believe he has a faith in Christianity. I don't fully know what it is. He either has, some have said, I read one commentary, they said Trump is a deceived Christian, that he's just deceived about certain issues. He could be classified as an immature Christian. I'm very impressed by the fact that he chose Mike Pence as his vice presidential running mate. And Mike Pence, from what I understand, his reputation is that he is a very godly Christian man. And Trump, while he himself falls short in different areas, he really seems to admire people who are true Christians. And I do believe Trump wants to help Christianity. I think he wants to defend Christianity in this country and around the world. I still believe that. Now, whether or not he'll do that if he wins the election, we'll have to wait and see. But let's talk, let's go back to his comments here, and let's look at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. He says this, he's talking to the church, he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." So Paul is saying, if ye then be risen with Christ, he's talking about spiritually, that we should seek the things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, we should not be setting our affections on things on the earth. Now, obviously, we have to have some, we have to pay some attention to what's happening here on the earth. And of course, if we study Paul's journeys in the book of Acts in particular, it's very clear there are times when he had to take care of things that were happening in the world. He had to address certain issues in the world. But nevertheless, our hearts should be pointed toward God and toward the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And we should be seeking to store up our treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, so Paul says now, let's get to verse 5. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify meaning to put them to death. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, okay, which basically means evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, that's where we learn something about covetousness. Covetousness is idolatry. A very powerful insight, but how many people can say that they've never been guilty of covetousness, having a strong desire for something that you don't have that begins to drive you and it guides your life and you're trying to obtain that thing, whatever it is, and that you're pursuing that rather than walking in obedience to God. And Paul is saying you've got to mortify these things. You've got to put an end to these things. Put an end, mortify fornication, mortify uncleanness, mortify inordinate affection, mortify evil desire and covetousness, etc. Put these things to death. Don't practice them. And then he says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Why? Because they had no life in Christ. The only life they had was in the world, and they lived in that sin. Now that a believer is reborn, Paul's saying, you've died with Christ through baptism. Now you're risen with Christ spiritually because you're a new creature. You're born again. And your life is in Christ, in God. Christ is your life. That's why Paul says elsewhere, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's your life. It's not this sinful behavior. That's not life. That's death. So you need to put those things to death in your own body, in your own life. Mortify them. Now, he says this, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. Then he says, but now ye also put off all these. He's telling them, I believe he's telling them they need to mature now and go to the next level. Go to the next level. He says, but now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, why is Paul telling that? I mean, can you imagine having to tell this to the members of a congregation in a church? Now, why would Paul be telling them that? Quite probably, brethren, because he received reports somehow that this kind of thing was still going on among the believers there. So Paul is now admonishing them in, I think, a very loving way, but also a very direct way, to put these things aside. Don't pursue this behavior anymore. Put it aside. It's time to move forward in Christ. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We'll talk more when we come back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins, and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today on the show, we're talking about Donald Trump and Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Okay, now we're talking about Colossians 3 and what Paul is admonishing the church. He's admonishing believers in the first century. And of course, we're relating this. We're putting this in the context of this whole controversy with Donald Trump and the corrupt, the filthy communication that has been uncovered here, that was recorded and that they've been playing over and over and over again to try and discredit Trump. I think it's important that we as believers in Christ understand this within a full biblical context. As I've said before, there's no excusing it. It's shameful behavior for anyone. But Paul is admonishing the early church in a way that I believe what he's doing is he's really encouraging them more and more to pursue a greater level of maturity and personal accountability, a greater level of holiness, separation from worldliness. Because any believer knows from the time you got saved, you still had bad habits. Chances are right now, you're still struggling with bad habits, even if you've been walking with the Lord for years. The reformers believed that repentance for a believer was a lifelong process, that you're continually turning away from sin. It's what we find in 1 John, where John says, if we sin, we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sin, He is just and faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So John recognizes that, yes, believers are going to fall short. They're going to be guilty of sin, but it's in those times that we've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, trust His atonement for us on the cross, trust that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin, and that when we turn to Him, when we turn to God, we confess our sin and we forsake it, God is going to forgive us. Where a person is in danger is when they try to justify their sin. And we should always be on our guard against that. So I want to read one of the commentaries from John Gill on chapter 8 there about filthy communication. And here's what Gill had to say about it. He says, a filthy communication which comes out of the mouth and is to be removed and put out of it or abstained from, and which is to be understood also of blasphemy or evil speaking of one another, whereby the credit and reputation of each other may be hurt. Filthy communication is the same with that which is said to be corrupt, Ephesians 4:29, and which, though it is applicable to all speech that is unsavory, unedifying, idle, and useless, and may be properly enough said of flattery, lying, cursing, and swearing, yet chiefly regards obscene language, unchaste words, and filthy talking, which tend to encourage and cherish the sin of uncleanness in any of its branches, flattery, lying, cursing, and swearing. Yet chiefly regards obscene language, unchaste words, and filthy talking, which tend to encourage and cherish the sin of uncleanness in any of its branches. Well, looks like they repeated Gill's phrase there. But anyway, it's very clear, you know, that Gill's understanding, anyway, on this, is that it had to do with obscene language and filthy talking. And there's no question that that's exactly what Donald Trump was guilty of. Obscene, filthy talk. And it's inexcusable. Thankfully, he's apologized for it. And I can only hope that at this point in his life, he has fully turned away from that kind of talk. I mean, he's a married man. Even if he was not married, if he's truly a Christian and he's professing Christianity, as Paul says, he says, if any man names the name of Christ, let him depart from evil. If any man names the name of Christ, let him depart from evil. In fact, I am actually quoting from 2 Timothy, and that was a little bit of a paraphrase. Let me give you the exact verse. That's 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, where Paul says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So he says iniquity, but iniquity, evil, essentially the same thing. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, I remember reading that years ago, and I remember thinking, you know, Paul doesn't really spend a lot of time arguing about the quality of someone's faith, about arguing about, well, is this or that person really a true believer or whatever. He doesn't. What he says is, he says, look, if you're going to name the name of Christ, if you're going to claim that you are a Christian, whoever you are, then depart from iniquity. Let every man who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Sitting around arguing about whether or not they're truly a Christian, I mean, to a certain extent, we're told, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether or not they be from God. We are told that. So yes, we are called to test and prove a person's faith. But if a person's naming the name of Christ, I think our admonishment toward them should be to depart from iniquity. Turn away from this sin, turn away from this filthy talk and this kind of thing, and don't pursue this anymore. Just turn away from it. Paul goes on here in Colossians, back to Colossians chapter 3, where he says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. See, Paul doesn't say, if you stop lying to one another, then you will have put off the old man. He's saying, no, you're a born-again child of God, and so you need to reform your behavior as a result. It's almost like a child growing up in a household. The child is first born into the household. Then, after the child is born to the parents, then the child is instructed on how he or she is to behave in that household. These are the rules. No, don't throw food on the floor. These are your toys. No, don't touch that, and don't go near the oven, and don't do this. You see what I'm saying? You're already a child. And so what Paul is saying, you're already a child of God. And this is so important because otherwise people have a tendency to fall into works righteousness, thinking that you're earning your salvation. But that's not it. Paul is instructing the children of God for how they ought to behave because they're children of God. Okay? He's saying, because you've put off the old man with his deeds, therefore, don't lie to one another. Seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. And then verse 16, something so important in our day, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then he goes on, praise the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That should be our admonition to Donald Trump and all those who name the name of Christ. All right, brethren, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.